Our final presenter, and I apologize, again, we're going to have to take just a moment to switch equipment, but our final presenter is Franz Kunst. Franz has been working with archival collections at Stanford University for nearly 5 years and is presently project archivist for the Riverwalk Jazz Collection at the Archive of Recorded Sound. He grew up in North Carolina, discovering an affinity for sound archives while interning at UNC's Southern Folklife Collection. He created a radio program of holdings from the archive on WXYC, the campus radio station, where he was also music director. A music fanatic and record collector with interests in nearly every genre and time period, Franz, besides being a former broadcaster, is a lousy blogger and occasional live disc jockey. It's his words, not mine. I've never read his blog. He's also editor of the ARSC newsletter, and despite frequent attendance at conferences, this is his first presentation.
Thanks for coming. It's the summer of 1965, and 8 Stanford University students, Mary Kay Becker, Mark Dalrymple, Roger Dankert, Richard Gillum, James McRae, Penny Neeland, John Royes, and Julie Wells, are sponsored by campus radio station KZSU and Stanford's Institute of American History to interview civil rights activists in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina. The goal is to produce a series of radio programs using the source material. The workers, most of whom are white, are involved with such groups as the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the Congress of Racial Equality, the NAACP, and the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. Over 50 projects are visited in all. Many workers were involved with voter registration, such as SCLC's SCOPE project, the Southern Community and Political Education Project. The interviews, often informal and frank in nature, discussed organizational issues and strategies, as well as responses to inquiries about personal motivations in getting involved. There are also recordings of conversations with local sheriffs and an FBI agent, and what must have surely been an undercover recording of a Ku Klux Klan meeting in Mississippi at which Imperial Wizard Robert Shelton spoke. Remarks and speeches by such leading figures as Ralph David Abernathy, Charles Evers, James Farmer, Hosea Williams, and Martin Luther King Jr. were also recorded. Most of the interviews were transcribed in 1969 and were available commercially on microfilm via the Microfilm Corporation of America and the New York Times in 1976. While the open reel tapes were accessioned by the Archive of Recorded Sound, Stanford University Special Collections controlled the transcripts and produced a finding aid for them. For various reasons, several tapes, many of which were neither transcribed nor described in this finding aid, and only those researchers able to travel to Palo Alto and make an appointment at the archive could access them, if they even knew to look for them. The original index cards, their only documentation, were stored in the tape boxes themselves. At the present time, there are approximately 89 digital files which cannot be associated with any transcript and are not yet described in any finding aid. I don't mean to suggest that they've fallen through the cracks. Archives get enough publicity for things they've lost and found again, as if highlighting your backlog was a good thing. But I do wish to emphasize the unique qualities of these original audio recordings, and for that matter, not just those that are untranscribed, although the clips I'll be playing today are all from the untranscribed tapes. As more or less primary sources, these sounds have a great deal of evidentiary value, particularly in light of differing memories and accounts of events. This value may be most obvious when listening to a brilliant orator such as Martin Luther King, but it's also important for the voices of the less famous. For instance, the collection was submitted to the Center for Applied Linguistics American English Dialect Recording Survey and was part of their registry for many years. The limitations of the transcript include the loss or compromise of dialect, as well as cadence, timbre, dramatic pauses, and asides. The context of the recording, which in this case includes environmental sounds of the rural South, cannot and probably should not be in a transcript. In many ways, a transcript is like metadata, a useful structure for locating and navigating a recording, and this text is absolutely invaluable for research. There's a lot of content delivered there. But as I don't have to tell anyone here, there can be a lot more on the tapes. This recording is the opening of the first of 8 CR65 programs on KZSU, narrated by Ralph Peer, no relation to the famous A&R man. The show, which originally aired in the spring of 1965, uses tapes recorded by Peer from the Selma March and elsewhere earlier that spring. The title of this program is The Macomb Election Story, about the struggle for voter registration in Macomb, Mississippi. Ironically, the collection contains very few of the actual radio programs. This clip should give you a sense of how the field recordings were used in the context of a produced broadcast. If you could play track one, please.
What do we want, children? What are we going to have, children?
Yesterday in Macomb, Mississippi, the scene of 17 bombings during the summer and fall civil rights activities, there was a local election of great significance. The special election for selectmen at large marked the first time since the Reconstruction that a Negro qualified to be placed on an official ballot in the state of Mississippi. This election is the subject of this, the first broadcast of CR65. Later in the program, we will be speaking by telephone to Mr. Dodds and Mr. Martin in Macomb, Mississippi, the two men most affected by this election.
To read on here. I'll bring this back up a little bit later, but I figured that was a good way to get a lot of the kind of technical stuff out of the way. So the following excerpt is from a recording from the famous Selma Montgomery March, which we heard part of produced in the previous segment. Ralph Peer is heard describing the march in Montgomery, Alabama. That's track two, please.
Test 1, 2, hello. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. At Montgomery, the state capital of Alabama, the Freedom March has just started, about an hour and a half late. The final leg of its 5-day trek from Selma. The organization of this march is such that the vanguard carries a number of flags, the majority of them American flags, which incidentally is in sharp contrast to the number of Confederate flags flying from all the buildings here, including the state capitol building. Immediately in front of the vanguard of the marchers is an open truck carrying perhaps 30 press photographers. The dignitaries are in front of the flag-bearing groups. The flag-bearing group and approximately 275 other marchers directly behind them are all wearing a bright red fluorescent waistcoat. These identify these people as being from the original original group that left Selma and have gone all 50 miles. Another requirement is that they be Selma residents to have the honor of wearing these red vests. Along the first 200 feet or so of the column, a shield is formed by interlocking hands with the various marshals of the march, that is, volunteers, most of them Negro, though some white, and some white clergymen, who sort of form an arrow, a protective shield, to make it easy for those inside to walk without being too crushed. The rest of the march is organized so that the men are on the outside of the column and the women inside, so that should there be any trouble, this can be a protective measure.
Julie Wells and Rich Holloway were both part of a two-person team recording marches in Bogalusa, Louisiana in July 1965. These eyewitness reports provide a unique perspective on the events and reflect a great deal of the tension and violence that was ever present that summer. The first three clips are recorded by Wells on July 8th. The speaker in the middle clip is unidentified. So if you could play the next three tracks, please, in a row.
Starting to march again now. In front of this, there's a Bogalusa police car, and in front of that, I think it's a state, yes, it is a state police car, and there are several newsmen up there under umbrellas taking pictures.
As we marched up here today, we saw an awful lot of white women down there with a lot of time to kill. And we need to start thinking about taking that time away from them, get these Negro women out of those white folks' kitchen. Let them take their Klan flags, hang it over that hot stove, and stand over that hot stove and let their hair fall down in their face.
Something's going on.
That's old school, bud.
They say somebody shot.
And all the police are way up here. Keep on.
A Negro boy seems to have gotten his head cut. I don't know exactly what's happened, but he's lying there with his head on the police car. I don't know whether they don't want it up or what, but his hands are behind him. The police seem to be holding. There's an ambulance going around the block. There's quite a crowd gathered. I don't know if someone shot him, that's what they say. They're making some comments. I don't know what happened. I have a feeling I better get the hell out of here.
Rich Holloway narrates for the marches occurring a few days later in Bogalusa. Note that the second clip from these marches is from noted African-American journalist and author Louis E. Lomax. Play tracks 6 and 7, please.
We want police are now standing with guns facing a man who seems to be threatening the marchers, surrounding a large section of the crowd now.
Why did I say that? Stop! Stop! You! Stop!
The scum he was talking about was me.
We want you to march. Don't be afraid. Leave hate to them.
Yeah.
They've been hating for 500 years.
Amen.
See where they are?
Yeah.
If you start hating, you're going to wind up in the same hell of a mess they're in.
Amen.
So don't start hating. Don't start shooting. Walk with dignity. Walk with love. Walk with courage, and you'll never walk alone.
Amen.
The singing and chants recorded in the collection perhaps most obviously defy transcription. The song Governor Wallace, about Alabama's staunchly segregationist governor, is one of the most famous freedom songs, and it is sung here by an unknown semi-professional harmony group with guitar. It appears that the entire concert was recorded. They also sang I Love Everybody and Len Chandler's Murder on the Road in Alabama, but there's no index card or any other information on the circumstances of the recording. You could play track 8, please.
Well, I read in the paper, sign up for running up.
I'm not entirely sure, like many songs, that might be a satire or a version of a popular song with changed lyrics. It's familiar, but I can't place it. If any of you can, that would be great if you could let us all know that. And there is at least one other recording of this song in the collection, sung by three young girls, but this was the version, because it's somewhat unusual to hear the guitar in there. It's definitely much more of a staged performance. So the next track we're going to hear is also from a Rich Holloman recording from the Bogalusa Marches. And I should let you know, the edit between the two parts is on the original. If you could play track 9, please.
Thank you.
For the last track that I'll play is actually two unidentified workers going door to door, and they visit the house of an elderly African-American woman to invite her to a meeting at the Little Rock Baptist Church. There's incidentally many of these churches called, many churches called Little Rock Baptist Church, so I wasn't able to actually locate where precisely this is. So a television is playing, and the recording is fairly poor, but I do think it encapsulates some of the dynamics of canvassing, as well as the culture gap between civil rights activists and the local communities in which they worked. If you could please play track 10.
We wanted to tell you about the mass meeting tonight at the Little Rock Baptist Church.
Yes.
And we were hoping that you'd be able to attend. We're going to have movies on the march tonight, and we're going to have somebody talking. We're going to have a little freedom, a little Jesus Christ, and a little of all of it. We were hoping that.
Yeah, well, that'll be very nice. I doubt I'll have all the rights, and I can't get about good, but I doubt that I can get on there. But my mind and heart will be down there, and I hope everything will go nicely and well.
Well, thank you very much. Do you have anybody else around that maybe would like to go for you?
No, I'm the only one that lives here at this house by myself.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you snatch one of these little kids that's going down there and ask them to tell you what happened, okay?
I'll find out what happened.
Okay.
My neighbor was there. I don't worry about that. Nice to see you.
All right, likewise. Thank you
very much. Goodbye.
And thank you very much.